seems that we live in this increasingly
negative world. Everything and everyone around us seems to be negative. And so we started this series last week called How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. And one of the things I said last week, and I want you to remember this, is we're not talking about some kind of positivity mind trick here where if you think about it, then you can be positive. What we're talking about is an act of faith in God and in Jesus. Really, if we believe in God and we have the hope of Jesus, if we've been transformed by God's grace in our life, if the Holy Spirit is working through us, and God's Word, the Bible, is encouraging us and shaping us, then we see God's working in our life. We know that God's at work, and then we can be positive. So in a world filled with negativity, we're focusing on God's Word to renew our minds so that we can stay positive. So that we can stay positive in a negative world. And so the question is, how do we stay positive in a negative world? And last week we looked at the first way, which was to be optimistic. And we're not optimistic because of how we feel. We're optimistic because of what God says and because of who God is. And then today we're going to look at another way to stay positive in a negative world, and that's this, to be encouraging. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app with you on your mobile device, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. We're looking at this book in the Bible, in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, and it was a letter that was written to Jewish believers in Christ. So they were born Jews, they had that in their background, but they came to know and believe in Jesus as their Lord. And this is the group of people it's written to, but these specific believers are in danger of turning their back on their Christian faith. They're in danger of going back to the life that they used to have before they knew Christ. And the reason is because they were discouraged. They were discouraged in their faith in many ways. And so really the letter of Hebrews is a letter of encouragement. And it's something that every one of us need. We all need encouragement. So the writer of Hebrews says this to the believers then, and to us believers now. He says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." God is telling us through the writer of Hebrews, that we have to be encouraging and we have to have encouragers. We have to be encouraging and we need encouragers. So let me share with you first the need for encouragement, or how being encouragement can help us be positive in a negative world. And I'll start by saying this. We need encouragement because and to be encouraging because it is impossible to be negative and encouraging at the same time. Somebody said it like this. You can't see the darkness when you flood it with light. That's what we need, a flood of light and encouragement into our life to cover the darkness. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. "But encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We need to be encouraging because we live in a world darkened by sin and negativity that can so easily discourage us and entrap us. It eventually, the deceitfulness of sin, the Hebrew writer tells us, can harden our hearts. And you know what happens when our hearts become hardened? Hardened by sin's lies and deceit? We become negative. And then we become a negative influencer in the world around us. And the problem is, a lot of times we don't even realize that we've become this negative person living in the darkness of this world of negativity. We don't realize that negativity is taking a hold of us, or maybe we don't realize it's taking hold of people around us. And so let me share with you one of the ways that you can tell that someone or yourself has become a negative Nelly. And you know who that person is, right? You know a negative Nelly. And I'll share with you the easiest way to tell is but. But. Not B-U-T-T, but B-U-T. But. See, negativity is the but of life. Just remember that. I'll explain it. Negativity is the butt of life, the B-U-T of life. Negative people might say something complimentary. But, that's right. Hey, they might talk about how great of a cook you are. Or maybe they might be happy to find themselves at a particular restaurant. Or they're enjoying their beach vacation. The only problem is they finish their remarks with the word but, turning the positive into a negative. You get remarks like, you're such a good cook, but you could use a little less seasoning next time. Right? It looks like a great restaurant, but why didn't you get us a seat on the patio? Or, it's a lovely beach, but there's always too many people here. But is the... negativity is the butt of life. And sometimes the butt is silent, but it's still there. Here, now I'll explain to you. You share great news about a dream job that you got, right? Or you got engaged, or you got a new house, and you share that with negative people, they're always going to find a way to make it sound negative. They might not say but out loud when they caution you to be careful, when they warn you about the dangers, or tell you to think carefully about accepting the offer, or they tell you the nightmare story of their friend, of a friend of their friend's cousins, brothers, neighbors, ex-wife, sisters, husband's nightmare story, right? You know that person. They might not say but it's still there. If you've ever given a backhanded compliment or pointed out the rare but possible negative thing that could happen to your friend as they share their news, but, or be careful, then guess what? You're a negative Nelly. Negativity has gotten into your life and now you're influencing other people, or it's in those people around you. And it's really important to know that when we're being negative, or when others around us are being negative, because negativity, negative comments, criticisms, bad news, and even failures have a very strong pull on our lives. They have a really strong pull on our lives. Maybe you've noticed that. Maybe you've noticed that you have a tendency to dwell or fixate on an insult that someone has given you, or to fixate on a failure or a mistake. Criticisms, they say, often have a greater impact on us than compliments, and bad news frequently draws more attention than good news. We know that to be true. And the reason for this is that negative events have a greater impact in our brain. They have a greater impact in our brain than positive ones. Scientists call this negative bias. I mentioned it a little bit last week. And they say it can have a tremendous impact on your behavior, on your decisions, on your attitude, and even your relationships. See, negative bias is our tendency to not only register the negative stimuli, the negative events that happen more readily, but also that our brain dwells on those negative events, those mistakes and failures and insults. Negativity bias means that we feel the sting of a rebuke more powerfully than we feel the joy of praise. The negative bias of our own minds means that we will hear the rebuke or the insult more than we'll hear the praise or the compliment. That's why bad first impressions are so difficult to overcome. It's why past traumas have such a long-term effect on us. Almost any interaction that we have, we're more likely to notice the negative things and later remember those more vividly. Now, I don't think that's an accident. Personally, I think that's a result of sin in this world, that we are broken, fallen men and women, and so that negative affects us that way. As humans, we tend to remember traumatic experiences better than positive ones. We think about negative things more frequently than positive ones. We recall insults better than praise. Think about this. Maybe you had a great day at work, and you're almost ready to go home when a coworker makes an offhanded comment that you find irritating. And you find yourself stewing over his or her words for the rest of the workday, even though it's only a few minutes. When you get home from work, somebody says, "How was your day?" And you reply, "It was terrible." Even though overall it was a pretty good day. Except for that one little negative incident, those few words at the end of the day, it was a good day. Why does that happen? It's because that's the way our mind is. We fixate on the negative things. and we can't see the positive. We feel the sting of a rebuke more powerfully than we feel the joy of praise. That's probably why you've been told and why I've been told that if you say one bad thing about someone, that you need to say 3 to 5 good things about them to make up for it. Apparently our teachers weren't making that stuff up. They realized the power a negative comment or a negative situation had on other people. So you need to double up, triple up, quadruple up on the positive stuff in order to overcome the negative. And I think that's why it's so important that we understand that to stay positive in this negative world that we live in, we have to be encouraging. We have to be encouraged, but we also have to be encouragement. See, encouragement is the antidote that God has given us to counteract the poison of criticism and negativity. Encouragement is the antidote God has given us to counteract the poison of criticism and negativity that can easily invade our lives and the lives of others. Maybe that's why the writer of Hebrews urges us to encourage one another daily. Because lies, negativity, discouragement, they don't take a day off. Negative people don't just take Sunday off and stay home and not tear down the preacher or other people at church. Negative people aren't just negative at home, they're negative at work. Negative people aren't just negative to their family, they're negative to their coaches and the kids' ball teams. We know those people. Maybe that's you. And so we need encouragement every day because negativity doesn't take a day off. The voices of discouragement are so real and so constant that we need to encourage one another daily. How often? Daily. For how long? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us, remember, as long as it is called today, right? Guess when that is? That's every day. Every day. For as long as it is called today. Encourage one another daily so that we are not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need to be encouraging. And when it comes to being encouraging, our words are one of the more powerful weapons that we have. We know this to be true. Even though we learn that old nursery rhyme that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, we know that's not true. We've all had words spoken to us that have hurt us, that have cut us, that have tore us down. Our words are powerful weapons to destroy, but also powerful weapons to build up. The Proverbs tells us in all of the wisdom we find there that in Proverbs 18, verse 4, that the words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. In other words, our words are powerful, like rushing water. With just a few words, we could tear a person down and hurt them deeply. Or we could brighten their spirits and help them to have a great day, encourage them. Many people use that power that they have in their words to harm people and to hurt people, to be negative and discouraging. But others would use those words to build others up. Another place in Proverbs 16, it says, gracious words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We love those kind of words, don't we? Sweet words that heal our soul, that encourage us and brighten our day. And so as we think about being encouragers, we need to think about how we use our words. But it's not just our words. It's not just our words. See, we can say we love and care about others all day long. But our actions will always prove the truth of our words. Our actions will always prove the truth of our words. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And I want to encourage you to be an encourager with your words, but to also be an encourager with your actions. That's why I like this little section that we've already looked at in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. When he says this, and let us consider how we spur one another on toward good deeds, love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. See, I believe this gives us a pretty good picture, a pretty good idea of how to do it, of how to actively encourage others. How to encourage one another. So I'm going to share with you three ways that we can actively encourage others every day. Every day. Because we know that we need encouragement and others around us need that encouragement as well. So first, we need to encourage others, encourage by our deeds. He says, let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. James wrote in the New Testament that faith without works is dead. You can say that we love God, but if we don't have action or faith that shows that, it gives evidence of that, then our faith is dead. If our faith doesn't move us to action, then we have a dead faith. And if our love for others doesn't move us to action, then we don't have love for others. See, we can say we love God and others, but is there any hard evidence? That's what we need to ask. One of the easiest ways to demonstrate your love for the Lord is to be compassionate and caring toward those that you encounter. One of the greatest ways to prove your love for Jesus is to love others like Jesus has loved you. Even the smallest of gestures can mean a great deal to someone who's discouraged or down or having a bad day. Another place in Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 16, it says, and do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices God is pleased. See, we don't understand the power that this can have in the life of the person that we can help. Maybe we understand a little bit, but anyone who has helped another person, I'm sure that's all of you, anyone who's done something for another person knows that when we help other people, it's encouraging for our souls. You can't go out and help someone who's in need and not feel better about yourself and to feel better about the life that you're living. We know how encouraging it is for our souls to help others. We know how encouraging it is for our spirits to be kind and compassionate, to do something nice for other people. Friends, if you're ever having a bad day, go help someone. Go to the restaurant and pay for the person in front of you's meal. Go to the grocery store and walk around the parking lot and help people load their groceries into their car. Go visit a shut-in. Or rake someone's leaves. And I guarantee you that you'll be encouraged. But the other thing that'll happen while you're doing that is you'll encourage others. They will be encouraged as well. I think that's why we're told to consider how we may spur one another on to love and to serve others with good deeds. Because it's a double dose of encouragement. Love and good deeds done for other people, that's a double dose of encouragement. The doer is encouraged and the recipient is also encouraged. Doing good for others makes us feel better. But it encourages others. It produces in us a feeling of goodness and joy and satisfaction. But for those who are the recipients of our service done in love, it gives hope. It gives hope. And it shows them that all hope is not lost. But also consider this, when we serve, we're also sharing in the very example of what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians, Paul writes this in chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgave you. When we serve others, we're doing exactly what Christ has done for us. The author of Hebrews wants us to think of ways to motivate and to encourage others to do good in love. And the one way we can do that is to do good deeds for others. It encourages them, and then it encourages them to do good for others. And just keeps going on and on. It's a double dose of encouragement when we serve others. We're encouraged and others are encouraged. But as we set the example of what it looks like to encourage, we start a cycle of encouragement and service that's not easily broken. Because when you've given to another person or served them, their response is often to serve someone else. You think about all of those stories that we hear about people paying for someone's coffee in the Starbucks drive-thru, and that it goes on for the whole day. Why? Because when you are encouraged because someone has served you, your simple response is to encourage others by doing the same thing. I think that's why the Hebrew writer tells us to encourage, to think of ways to encourage others to do good. Because we keep dispensing that double dose of encouragement when we encourage by deeds. So we encourage others by doing good deeds, but we also are told by the Hebrew writer to encourage others by meeting together. We encourage by meeting together. He goes on and says, don't give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. What's he talking about here? What's the writer talking about when he says, don't give up meeting together? What are these meetings? Dinners? Yeah. Fellowships? Yeah. Bible study? Yeah, probably. But really what he's talking about is don't give up meeting together. Don't give up being the church. It doesn't have a time. It doesn't have a location. It has a purpose. It has a purpose and a mission. See, the church isn't a building. It's not a time. The church is you and I, people meeting together. And the Hebrew writer wants us to not give that up. And the reason is because we can't do this alone. We can't just be Lone Ranger Christians trying to figure out how to make it through this negative world. We need other people to walk with us on this journey. Friends, you can't replace meeting together, physically, in person, meeting together with any other event or any other activity that can be as encouraging as the time that we spend together as Christian brothers and sisters encouraging each other, rubbing shoulders. Is there a place for watching on Facebook? Absolutely. Can we learn and be lifted up by doing a Bible study on our own? Yeah. But we miss out on the power of encouragement when we don't meet together. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, fellowship group on Saturday. All of that is an important part of being the church because we can't do this alone. We need each other. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote. He's writing this letter to the Christians in Rome, and he's pouring his heart out at the very beginning. And he says, this is in Romans chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, and he's pouring out his heart, and he says, in my prayers at all times, I pray that now at last, by God's will, that the way may be open for me to come to you. He doesn't want to write letters anymore. He wants to be there with them and encourage them in person. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. And then I love what he says in verse 12. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So that you and I, by mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Here's what that means. Here's what it means, simply put. When you miss church, not only do you miss out, but we miss out. When you miss being together with your church family, not only are you missing out on the encouragement, but we're missing out on your encouragement too. Because we mutually encourage each other. I met this guy, we'll call him Bill because that's his name, but Bill at the coffee shop. And Bill and I were talking, and he started to tell me his story. And he's been in a group called GA, Gamblers Anonymous, for 27 years. For 27 years, he's been a part of Gamblers Anonymous. And he told me a story, and it's a beautiful story of grace and redemption. But the thing that I remember more than anything is he said, you know, I got to a point, Bobby, where I quit going. I wasn't struggling with the addiction of gambling and wanting to stop and bet on horses or call a bookie. He said, I was over that. And he's like, I didn't need to go anymore. And he said, and for a while, I didn't go. And he said, then one night he said, the Lord laid it on my heart. He gave me a memory of a time that I was struggling and I stopped and went to the racetrack. And on the way in, I saw the phone and I called my sponsor and I said, hey, listen, I just got to tell you I'm here at the racetrack and I'm getting ready to bet. And his sponsor drove 2 hours to him to make sure that he wouldn't do that. And he said, God laid that memory on my heart, and I remembered what an encouragement that these men and women that surrounded me during my struggles were. And he said, and the Lord said, Bill, that's what people are missing when you're not there. You may not need it, but they need you. They need you. He told me he's never missed a meeting that he could help. You know, maybe he's on vacation or something. He said, but I've never missed a meeting. Sponsors men that are going through the same thing, because he knew the power of meeting together in that aspect. And friends, it's that powerful and more when we meet together as God's people, as the church. We encourage each other. And when you're not here, you miss out. But we miss out too. We miss out on your encouragement. We miss out on your story and your testimony and your smile and your kind words. We can't do this alone. We need to be in, to encourage each other by meeting together. Because when we meet together, we mutually encourage each other. So we can't give up meeting together and think that we're just going to walk through this negative, dark, sinful world alone and not be affected by it. We can't do it without each other. So if we want to be encouraging in this negative world, we need to encourage others by doing good. And encouraging others by not neglecting to meet together. And finally, we need to encourage others by faith. Friends, we can say kind things to people all day long. We can tell people what a good job they're doing, how good of a cook they are, what their friendship means. But the greatest encouragement that we have to offer to anybody is our faith. We encourage in our faith. And you know, faith is being sure of what we hope for and confident in that which we cannot see. Faith means that we have an unwavering belief in God, that what God says is true, and that God's promises are true, and that Jesus is going to return, that He's coming back. That's why the Hebrew writer says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is capitalized because it's important, it's significant. It's the day that God has promised when Jesus will return. When we will all give an account for every good and bad deed that we've done, for every good and kind word and bad word that we've spoken, when we will give an account before Jesus for being the kind of people He's called us to be or not. But it's also the day in which God's promises, the hope that we all have, will be sealed forever, for eternity. And so when we encourage other people, when we encourage others as we meet together, as we serve them, it has to be about pointing them to Jesus. Because He's the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one who paid the price for sin, who defeated death once and for all, the one who rose from the grave, and that has promised us that He will return. And friends, that's encouraging, that we serve a God who has overcome the very worst thing that could ever happen to us. Remember the thing I've said, y'all have heard me say this before, when we're going through difficult times, and we say, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? We could die, right? But Jesus has overcome death. So what's the worst that could happen? If our faith is in Jesus, we will not be overcome. When you serve a God that has overcome death, there is no struggle, no discouragement, no negativity, no darkness, no sin that He cannot overcome. That means that whatever trouble you're going through, or whatever trouble your friend or your neighbor, your coworker is walking through, if you can point them to Jesus and encourage them, that this is not going to break them. That they're going to overcome. Remember last week we pointed to one of the reasons that we're optimistic is because our present sufferings don't compare to the future glory that will be revealed in us through Jesus. Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. We encourage by faith when we point people to the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus. That this world will not defeat us. It will not knock us. It may knock us down, but it won't keep us down. Because we have a God who has overcome. And what He has promised us in the future is far greater than any struggle or trial that we are going through now. So friends, let us be encouraging. Let us be encouraging in this negative world. Let us stay positive by encouraging others by our deeds, encouraging others by meeting together, and encouraging others by faith. Because who couldn't use a little bit of encouragement? Or a whole lot of it, for that matter, in this negative world. I'm reminded of this verse as I wrap up today. Paul writes in his letter, second letter he writes to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. He writes this little line, and I hadn't thought much of it, and then I discovered that this week. He says, "For when we came into Macedonia," he's talking about as they were traveling, "we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn and conflicts on the outside and fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Look at what he said. "We came to Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn and conflicts from the outside and fear within." How many of you have ever felt like that? You ever felt like that? You're going and you're going, you're going, and then just like there's no rest. You can't catch up, you can't recover. You're like, man, we're facing conflict from every direction. There's battles on the outside and fears on the inside. Those words got my heart. Because I thought, man, we know that. Those are words that we all can relate to. No rest. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Battles on the outside and fear on the inside. This describes so many of people's lives. Maybe it describes your life. Maybe it's a friend. Somebody that's sitting beside you here today, or a family member, but you know that's their life. So many battles going on. So many fears on the inside. There are the people that say, "I didn't expect that. I didn't see it coming. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Don't know where I'm going to end up." They've got anxiety. Battles on the outside and fear on the inside. That's the world that we live in. We've been there and we know people are there. So I want to encourage you in this negative world to be a light and to be an encourager. Because you don't have any idea. You don't have any idea how your simple message of encouragement can change a life. Think about that. Paul, his team, they were traveling. They were going through this time. We have a tendency to think all these people that wrote these letters in Scripture, these great biblical leaders, man, they never struggled. And he's saying, listen, we had conflicts from every direction. We there was no rest for us. And then even when that wasn't going on, we had these battles raging inside. And we had fears and anxiety. And we didn't know how we were going to do it. They've been through it too. One of the most encouraging things that we can say to any person is, I've been there. I've been there. Now, don't lie about it, but I know how you feel, right? So, that's going on. And then Paul says, I love this. "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Man, we had all this stuff going on, and then God sent Titus. Well, who was Titus? Well, I'll tell you what, he wasn't known in the Bible as an encourager. That was Barnabas. So it wasn't necessarily that he was encouraging. Titus is just another person in the church who came and encouraged them. He didn't know he was going to be an encouragement. He didn't know that Paul and them necessarily were going through all of that. All he knew was that God had sent him, and he went, and when he shows up, Paul and them were like, oh, my heart is so much better. What did Titus do? I don't know. He was there. That's the only thing I can figure. He showed up when he needed him, and when they needed him, and he encouraged. Something that seems like it's no big deal to you, like just showing up. Something that seems like it's no big deal to you, like picking up a phone and calling someone who's down. Something that seems like it's no big deal to you, like inviting someone out to dinner or to grab a cup of coffee. Something that's no big deal to you, like writing a card to someone to say, "I'm praying for you," can be an incredibly big deal to someone else. They'll receive it as a gift of encouragement, not just from you, but from heaven, from God Himself. So friends, be encouragers. Be encouragers. Because in this world of negativity and complaints and criticisms, we need more people that are encouraging. People in the faith. Heavenly Father, may we be people that are encouraging others. Because we ourselves have been encouraged. We've been encouraged because we have hope and faith in You and in Jesus, that Your promises are true, that You've overcome. And so nothing in this world can overcome, that we are overcomers because of Jesus. May we be encouragers that serve and love as You have served and loved us. May we be encouragers as we meet together, share our lives and our faith journeys as we encourage each other to follow Jesus better. And may we never doubt the significance of a small act of encouragement done out of the goodness of our heart for love for others. We pray that as we try to encourage, that You would use our encouragement to point others to Jesus, but to pick them up and to help them to carry on. May we walk with each other, arm in arm and hand in hand, strengthened by the hope that we have for Jesus and by the friendship that we have with each other. We thank You, God, for every good thing You've done for us and for Jesus. And we pray all this in His name. Amen.